death is living in a cheap hotel. The desert's quiet, Cleveland's cold.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thank you very much for listening on this Monday morning. 251-343-0106. Hit us up on the text line. You want to respond to anything we are discussing? We'll try to get you right on air and respond accordingly. Anyway, joining us now on the program, always a pleasure to bring this gentleman on. He always makes time for this audience, and I'm very grateful of that. State Senator Arthur Orr from Decatur. Senator, good morning. How are you?
Oh, doing fine, Jeff. It's a pretty gorgeous day up here in Yankee land of the state. I hope the same could be said down there in the southern parts.
It's a little brisk, I guess, would be a good way to describe it, but no complaints from me. I hear it's supposed to warm up later in the week, and we'll break out the umbrella drinks and the lawn chairs, and next thing you know, it's a party down here always. Anyway, enough of that silliness, Senator. Wanted to get you on. Obviously, you have been making a lot of headlines lately, but one in particular. Very interesting concept here. So we're all familiar with the Alabama Literacy Act, at least in this listening audience we are, that it holds ultimately whenever it's going to be instituted, will hold third graders accountable and say you need to read at a third grade level, be proficient at a third grade reading level to go on to the fourth grade. You have something similar in mind where there is a glaring deficiency, and it's mathematics, and math scores struggling statewide, and what do we need to do there? You want to take a similar approach, I would assume, with math.
That's right, Jeff. And, you know, I don't see that we have a choice. I mean, we are 52nd in the country in math, in the fourth and eighth grade math. You say 52nd. I thought there were only 50 states. Well, you got to include D.C., who we're behind, and also the Department of Defense schools, which we're behind. So we're as low as you can go. And I think it's time for us as a state to commit to a long-term solution. And what you've seen in these other states when it comes to literacy acts and retention is that their scores start going north. In other words, they started improving their test scores, their capabilities, reading at grade level, because what's happened is it's forced educators to get more serious when you start talking about a retention aspect in the early grades. Of course, we're going to give all the intervention capabilities, summer school, summer camps, related to mathematics, pull-out sessions, after-school classes, et cetera, and identify these young people earlier on that are struggling with math. It's not easy. But we can't continue to fail our kids in math, just like we can't continue to fail them in reading. And so this will be, a long-term commitment of the state, not looking at implementation of the retention aspect till much later in this decade, around 2028. So it gives us plenty of time to gear up both the personnel and the financial resources to make this happen. But we've got to commit because we got to quit failing our young people, both in reading and in math.
Well, and there's a lot to this. There's all of these aspects, like the coaches and everything you speak of there. How does that? Do you put money aside for that? Is that something? Now we talk about record education budgets. Something you're familiar with the ETF. We're talking about even more money potentially with the lottery. What are we going to put all this money toward? Obviously, teacher pay raises and things of that sort. But financing such a big initiative, this is something I think people would be. I don't know. You know, we're always as conservative, skeptical of growing the size of government. But if it's being put to use in such a way, is that kind of the notion? Is that kind of the where you're going with this?
Well, that's, you know, in talking to the professionals, this is not something that, I dreamt up. But it is something that the professionals say it really does move the needle and makes a difference. So I certainly want to listen to them and heed them. But I don't think we can afford not to spend what it takes to get our students up to where they need to be. Now, Jeff, being the good conservative that you are and that I am, you know, I believe so much of this comes from the family, from the home life, from, you know, getting kids from behind, you know, getting them away from the screens or whatever, the video games, and forcing them to do their homework and concentrate on school and realize the importance of education, et cetera. But unfortunately, in a lot of homes, that doesn't take place. And so all the children will receive is what they get at school. And so all the intensive interventions we can bring to bear, you know, we're going to need to do it. We really, unfortunately, don't have, in a lot of circumstances, that support for the young students at home. And quite frankly, a third or fourth grader or fifth grader, until the, you know, the parents are really on them, aren't going to have the self-discipline that it takes at those early ages. It's just the way it is, like you would expect a high schooler maybe to be able to discipline themselves and study and learn on their own.
I mean, is there a government solution for that, to where you get parents engaged? Because it seems like a societal problem. And at one time in our society, there were, you know, you got shunned if you didn't do a good job taking care of your kids. We don't do that anymore. There's a lot more government involvement. But when it comes to this, that parental component, I don't know what else you could do from a government policy standpoint to improve that. And until you get that component on the up and up, you're really going to be struggling with whatever you guys try to do in Montgomery to bolster the education of public schools in Alabama.
Well, that's correct. And I pulled my hair out trying to figure out how do we get parents to focus on parenting and their children and their future success and how important that is, you know, in education and life. And sure, there are programs to address, you know, teach mamas how to be mamas, et cetera, because they didn't learn from their mama. But at the end of the day, when it comes to academics, even at the early years, such as elementary school math, that's, you know, when you look at reading, the statistics bear out time and time again, if a child can't read by the time they leave the third grade, they more likely will never be able to read adequately and become functionally illiterate. And our prisons are full of people that are, you know, they can't read because they didn't learn. They got frustrated in school. They probably dropped out. They got into perhaps a life of crime or whatever. All going back to the foundational aspects of their early grades. And the same can be said, perhaps on a lesser scale with math, but you and I know math is critically important. You're not always going to have a computer around, and it's just important to be able to function in life, to be able to subtract, add, multiply, divide, use fractions, and may not remember much algebra or calculus that we learned, but those core principles are just vitally important.
Joined by State Senator Arthur Orr here on the program. Senator, is there anything you can learn from the Literacy Act and its implementation that, you know, we're confronted with the potential of it being delayed? That seems to be where things are headed. But obviously, there were some things that weren't considered. Are there considerations you have learned from that experience, from that you can apply to the math counterpart of this?
I think we've got to move slowly, but by golly, we got to be committed and hold our educators accountable after giving them the resources, giving them the time, the resources to focus on these children that aren't getting math, aren't getting reading, and don't understand. And then we've got to have that accountability piece, Jeff, because, you know, let's assume every educator is troubled by being 52nd in math. And I would assume that they want their kids to do well. That's just a normal, I think, assumption that's not a great leap. But at the end of the day, we've got to have performance, and we've got to do better than 52nd in the country. And by that, I mean, so we got to have accountability. But again, on the other hand, we've got to provide the resources and the personnel to move the needle where it needs to move.
Now, when we talk about accountability, I mean, it's like it's the third rail. You don't dare criticize educators. They have taken an occupation that that we need to appreciate, that we need to hold in high reverence in our society, which is fine. But it's almost as if we've taken that to an extreme here where there is no accountability, that you don't dare criticize our educators for maybe not getting the results we need. Are you concerned about that? Are you concerned about the pushback from the teachers union, the AEA? You're always going to have folks that are going to take that and they're going to use that as a justification for opposing any of these initiatives.
Oh, without a doubt, they will. But again, this is not a slight of the educators in the classroom today and saying they failed. I would say perhaps they hadn't had the supports or the attention that they need from their leadership to address the issue. And school, unfortunately, Jeff, is not the same as it was 30, 40, 50 years ago, where you went in, you got your homework, you went home, you worked on your homework. Mom and dad were there to make sure you did your homework, that you understood. There weren't the number of disruptions. If you had kids who were disciplinary problems, they were dealt with. And they, you know, the misbehavior in the classroom, all the other issues, paperwork, other subjects, I'll even throw in critical race theory and the kitchen sink that educators have to deal with today, weren't present. So it's important that we, give them the supports and resources that are so vitally important to help our kids become successful in the 21st century, because the world has changed for better or worse. It certainly has changed in the education world. So that's the reason I think if we're going to demand more, we've got to give more and support to get more.
Well, where do you think we are now? You mentioned 52nd in a lot of these indicators about how we're doing education wise out of 50 states, but we're not 52nd in education funding. We're mid pack somewhere. And are we better now than we had been ever? It seems, because you hear about record education spending. It seems like we are in a positive direction on that front.
Well, you have to look at, our spending's a little bit different in that we are more of a state. The funds come more from the state level than the local level. So if you want an apples-to-apples comparison, then you got to get into the federal money, the title money, and there are real restrictions on that as far as funding goes. And that's a whole conversation in and of itself. But at the end of the day, parents have got to demand results from the educational system. They're paying for it. We're all paying for it. And when kids can't read when they come out, or they're functionally illiterate, or they can't do simple math, we, as a state, suffer because our children are unprepared. They got a high school diploma, but they can't, move on to college successfully, or junior college, or into the workplace, because the system has failed them. And so we've got to, one, have the accountability, and I think that's extremely important. The retention aspect is controversial, perhaps. But it's something that certainly gets parents' attention and gets educators' attention to get the outputs that we need. But we also need, again, to provide the resources necessary to get them there.
But per pupil, statewide, our investment in education in Alabama is not necessarily reflective of the results we're getting. Is that a fair statement? It is not for lack of effort from lawmakers and appropriators. It's not as if we're neglecting it, say, like the prison problem was for years and years and years. There is money being put into this. We're just not, for whatever reason, getting the results we want.
Well, that, I'm not going to cast stones, but, it is important. And I'll tell you another thing. If you look at the cost of living in a state like Alabama compared to a New York or a Massachusetts or a California, the salaries or compensation packages are even more favorable, if you will, when looking at it from that particular angle, as far as cost of living versus the salary and benefits that educators receive here. Not saying they're overpaid, but we just need to, again, demand accountability, and that's what I hope to do, to get us off the floor and improve our test scores. And it's not all about test scores, Jeff. It's about the future of these young students that need to be able to do simple math, just like they need to be literate when they leave high school years later.
Yeah, I think as conservatives, we don't mind investing in things that the government should be doing, and public schools is one, but if there's no results, if there's no accountability, that's where we take umbrage with it, right?
That's right. Well, let's look at reading. Alabama had the Alabama Reading Initiative, and you remember under Governor Riley, it was very successful. We met the national average in reading, so that was a big accomplishment going back to 2008, 9, 10, in those years. And the reason was the Reading Initiative that was praised by everyone. Well, the legislature continued to fund the Reading Initiative. Even in the hard years, we managed to scrape funds together. Fast forward 10 years, and our reading scores were back in the lower echelons of the country. And so we lost focus, but the funding was still there. So that's the reason the literacy bill and the retention aspect came forward, because the demand for accountability.
Senator, you've been very, very kind with your time this morning. We appreciate having you on. Let's talk again soon.
Thank you, Jeff. God bless.
Thank you. State Senator Arthur Orr there with us. We got to get one more break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Stay a while. We sing about sweet home and Dixieland delight. We tell stories about what goes on in Montgomery at midnight.